All right, let's go ahead and we'll pray. And then we'll jump into the lesson for tonight. Dear Yah, we just bless you. We honor you and we just thank you and welcome your presence. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on tonight, and we bless you in advance for it. And we just thank you for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. Before we get started, I want to just remind you to keep my secretary Janice in your prayers. She's getting better and better each day. Still have a ways to go. We just have to continue to trust Yah and continue this faith walk journey, believing Yah for her full recovery. And also I want to announce that we need to be in prayer for our general contractor Alex Rodriguez. He had a heart attack on Tuesday morning, and there was just quite a few things. On Tuesday. It was a really busy day for me. I went to it was Monday. The days are coming together. It was Monday when it happened. It was Monday, and so had a really busy day Monday, and did quite a bit of traveling and stuff like that. But he had a heart attack. Tomorrow they're gonna start prepping him for a triple bypass. He was 90% blockage on one side and 70% on the other side. And so, it's a serious, circumstance. But at the same time, we pray the will of Yah be done. We know that Yah is in complete control, and we just put our trust in Him and believe that things turn out for the best. With that in mind, it put some things on hold as far as our project is concerned, at least at this point. But at the same time, I'm not discouraged, at all. I want to keep you encouraged also. Yah knew what was going to happen, and He knew when it was going to happen. And so, because there is so much trust in Him, everything is going according to plan. Everything is on course. Everything that is happening is meant to happen, and His divine will is being fulfilled. And we just keep our trust in Him, as far as that is concerned. So. At the particular time when it happened Monday, I was kind of cloudy on the information as far as his condition was concerned, because we communicated by phone and he seemed to be fine. And matter of fact, they had talked about letting him go home after transporting him to the hospital. They were talking about letting him go home with some blood thinners and things like that. So I thought it was everything was going fine with him at that point, until Tuesday is when I, got the more detailed information on it and stuff like that, and things just been coming in, on and off throughout yesterday and also today, as far as his, family giving me information. And so I wanted to make sure that I got all the information together before I brought it to the church. So that's where we are at this point with him. And like I said, you know, every time you think about him, just keep him, you know, just keep him lifted up in prayer. Even as far as, you know, all of us are concerned, health is vitally important, especially with all the things that we're dealing with. There are some things that we will discuss along the lines of the lesson, on the lines of this as far as the lesson is concerned. And we'll just see what, you know, what Yah has to say. And we have to be very, very disciplined when it comes down to our physical bodies now, because it's just so much stuff that is coming at us. It's in the water, it's in the, you know, it's in technology, it's in the atmosphere, it's just so many things that's coming. It's in the food, you know. You know, watched a documentary week before last, I can't remember, but it was just talking about, you know, the documentary just showed how sugar is in everything. And I like how the guy said it, and I agree to a certain perspective, simply because I'm very in tune with my body, and I know what it does to my body, and what I'm about to say. The guy called sugar poison, and he was basically saying it's poison. It's, you know, it's not good for the body and different things like that. You know, a lot of problems that we have with our physical body is, you know, is all this food associated and specific sugars and things like that. Sugars in everything, pretty much. If you look at it, you know, they have different names of it. High fructose corn syrup and, you know, sugar, this, you know, all of it, man. Well, the way that my body works is, if I get too much sugar in me, then I'll start breaking out with little clear water bumps. They'll look like pimples, but it'd be like liquid in them. And that's how I know when I've had too much sugary liquids and eating too much sugar and stuff like that. You know, a lot of people have skin problems and all that. It's the sugar, man. You know, among other things, but you know, you break out pretty much any time you eat a whole lot of sugar. And so, and because it is as bad as it is, man, it's stuff almost as serious as some kind of cocaine or something like that.
I had a discussion with Autumn, and I was telling the same thing. It's just like a drug, because people are addicted to it. They crave it. It's just like any other drug. You start talking about something sweet, gotta have it.
Yeah. I have to admit, when I ate a lot of it, I craved it. You know, it was like, you know, I used to tell people, you know, you invite me to your house and you ain't got no dessert, that's a sin. You going to hell, you know. That's just cliche I used to use. Like, it's a sin, man, if you ain't got no dessert. I used to be like, I eat my dessert first just to make sure, you know, I can eat my dessert before I eat my food. So if I think I'm going to get too full, I'm going to eat my dessert. Well, since I got sick, you know, a few years ago and have recovered, I'm real conscious about these things. And during those processes, I was staying away from a lot of sugar. And now I'm to the point now where I don't crave it anymore. I used to crave it. And so I don't crave it anymore. I still will eat some every now and then. You know, you can't miss it with all the stuff that's out there, but, you know, I don't specifically go after it like I used to do. I don't go after the cookies and the different things like that, like I used to do. And when I do eat it, it's not as much. You know, I used to eat a whole bag of cookies in one sitting. Just sit there, get the chip hard, just eat the whole bag of chocolate chip cookies, you know. Be like, y'all better get y'all some out of here, because I'm going to eat until they're gone. Give me a big old, you know, glass of milk, you know, the mayonnaise jars, I get that full of milk, and you sit that doggone thing by them cookies, and I wasn't going to stop until I was out of milk and cookies, you know. Remember, Bernie Mac, he got the milk and cookies. But now, I just don't crave it, and so I'll still have a cookie here and there. But pretty much the most I'll go is I try to stay around three, and depending on the size. If they're large cookies, then I may go one or two. If they're small, I may go three or maybe large. You know, if they little, little small size that they have, just depends. But I don't crave it anymore, and so I'm glad that that's out of my system. You know. And so when it comes down to my liquid, I drink mainly water. I will have some teas and things like that, but we got to be careful about the sugar. I did a lot of honey. Well, that's sugar too, and so you have to be careful about all that, because also, although it's healthy, I was using too much. I used a lot of honey. And so I'm just being careful about these different things and just encouraging you to do the same thing.
I think if you can get off of it for a while, your sensitivity will become greater. Like, so
true.
You know, if you ain't had sugar in a while, you have some sugar, it'll be much sweeter. You say, is that how I used to eat?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I used to eat a whole bag of chocolate chip cookies. Now when I hit one or two, I'll be like, woo, whoo, let me leave them alone. And I always chase it with water now. If I eat a cookie, I'm going to drink two or three cups of water, because I got to dilute it some kind of way, because it's like you said, since I haven't been doing it, I'm more sensitive to it. So it is true. And, and I just want to encourage y'all, we got one body, we got one life, and we gotta take care of this temple of Yah. We really got to take care of it. We got to be disciplined with it and come up with alternatives on satisfying that sweet tooth, so to speak. And I really want to push you. And, I got much love for each one of you. And I want you to live well and be healthy and do well. And so things that I do and see that it work, I'm going to bring that information to you as fast as I can, because I want you to, to apply these things and see what works for you. You got to find out what works for you, but at least I'm going to share what's working for me and let you say, well, maybe that's what's going on with me. Maybe that's why I keep breaking out with these pimples, these blackheads or whiteheads or whatever. Maybe that's why my skin keep breaking out and I can't, I don't have, smooth, facial skin and stuff like that. Maybe it's what you're consuming, Maybe you're having too much coffee every day and too much tea every day and too much soda every day. And, and I noticed the difference in my facial skin because I drink so much water. It's a lot, smoother and things like that. So just keep those things in mind. But I did a write-in on this morning. I want to stay in the vein of this as far as diet is concerned. The title of the writing that I did was titled "The Steps of Mankind Are Ordered by Yah." And then I went on to say, "The goings of us is established by Yah." And I like to use the scriptures here, so we'll just go to Psalms to lay the foundation for this. Psalms 37, verse 23. Psalms 37, verse 23. It says the steps of a good man, but you see good here is italicized. So that means the writer put it there. Okay? And because the writer put it there, because the writer put it there, it sometimes it can take away the effects of what Yah is really trying to get us an understanding of, because I'll just say it, when you look at it just says the steps of a man. Okay, and you don't have to put good. Religion always try to throw something in there to persuade. But y'all can order a fool around. Okay? And y'all can delight in the ways of that fool if it's his divine will. Okay? I often say, you can't get this nut, you can't get this, the nut out of this nut. I'm a foolish thing. And sometimes y'all use this foolish thing to confound the wise, because he delight in that. Okay? And so So the good shouldn't be there, but you know, there's nothing wrong because it, you know, it does apply to the good, but at the same time, not necessarily.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The good means that it doesn't apply to a man that ain't good. Because by context, you know, if you look at all of us, before we came to Yah or submitted to the will of Yah, we didn't necessarily fall in this category, but it doesn't mean that our steps still wasn't ordered by Yah.
Exactly. You know, and again, that's why I make the statement, you can't get that nut out of this nut. You know, heck, I was thrown off and crazy and still got a little bit to it to this day. But Yah still ordered this thing. You know, he still ordered this thing around, you know. And so I'd be like, shoot, if he can use me, he can use anybody. And so Yah delighted. So that's where that comes from when I made the initial, when I said the steps of mankind are ordered by Yah. I didn't want to just limit it to good man, but mankind, period, is ordered by Yah, okay? And I went on to talk about, you remember when I had the vision, it was on September the 16th, 2021, I had a vision about the black snake, and Yah showed me that the head of the snake was basically leaders, and then the body of the snake were people, and there were things that the snake head was doing to try to bring about its agenda. But what I had said is that the snake head was basically trying to use fear tactics and things like that. And what we were to understand was that, you know, in the snake head consuming the people, which is its body, it was basically consuming itself. And that there were things that would be changed, or things would have to change, because the head, the snake head, would realize that things that it was pushing, certain agendas and things like that it was pushing, was going to also have an effect on itself. And and these things are happening just like Yah said it, you know, because what in the writing Yah said it, that it would fail, that they would fail as far as their agenda is concerned. And man, that thing is crumbling as fast as they put it up. And so I'm gonna go on, I'm gonna go online just to see if there is if there's some information about what I'm about to discuss here. And so, is my internet working? Yep. Okay. I'm gonna see if they're talking about this. Sims is going to give us any information on it, or if they're trying to hide it. If they are, then we'll still discuss some things. Yeah, here it is. Now remember, to show you how Yah operate things. Okay, what is this here? I get this off of here. Okay. Yes, we can't see it. We'll just leave it there then. Now, Yah gives the word on September 16th, 2021. What we discussed in that lesson, because I think it was on Wednesday, the 16th was on Wednesday, I believe. We discussed that lesson that night in training school. Now, things that we discussed in that lesson was how again the snakehead was desperate and they were trying to cause people to do things based upon fear, because you know they was requiring folks, companies were starting to require folks to take the vaccine, and you know, mandatory vaccine and things like that. All these different things were being pushed. And so, as a result of it, this is what's happening, and this is to show that snakehead has started, to show us that snakehead did bite his own tail. And we're going to see the results based upon this article. Now, it says, a record number of workers are quitting their jobs, empowered by new leverage. 4.3 million people quit their jobs in August, nearly 3% of the workforce. Okay? Now, again, it goes on to say, the number of people quitting their jobs has surged to record heights, pushed by a combination of factors that include Americans sensing ample opportunities and better pay elsewhere. That's what they say. Some 4.3 million people quit jobs in August. In August, about 2.9% of the workforce, according to new data released Tuesday from the Labor Department. Those numbers are up from the previous record set in April of about 4 million people quitting, reflecting how the pandemic, now they tell us, has continued to jolt workers' mindset about their jobs and their lives. Now, this is what they didn't expect. See, it's one thing when you have an agenda and you turn around and you use fear to try to force people to do things that they normally wouldn't do. But then what we're coming to realize, what we realize, but what they're now coming to realize, is that there are a whole lot of people that got faith and are willing to step out and put their trust, maybe in faith or in, as they say in some of this report, finding them something else to do. You have some people who are saying, you know what, I got the faith to go out let me back up and say this. A lot of people have been coming to me saying, you know what, all this has called me to do is to pursue my dream. I'm going to step out and I'm going to believe Yah, and I'm going to trust Yah to bring my dream to pass, because I'm not going to sit here and become a part of something that's designed to make me do something that is not in my heart to do. And so you had mentioned, I believe in the conversation that we had about the mindset. You don't have to, you know, call your job out unless you just want to. About the mindset of certain employees that said, "Well, okay, since y'all did this to us, this is how we feeling about." You know, some people are just go ahead and explain.
So just a couple of things. I mean, you know, so I don't have a problem saying who I work for. I work for Texas Instruments, and so they have, over the course of, you know, my time being there, I've been there for, 17 years or something like that, they give the impression that, you know, they are about, you know, family or looking out for people or things like that along those lines. And so this was the first time, you know, you got plenty of company people that toe the company line, which there's nothing wrong with that, right? But on this issue, when they came out to force people to get vaccines, you had people who had even gotten the vaccine that was like, okay, this something wrong with this picture. Like even though I got the vaccine, for them to force people to do that, so all it did was a couple of things. Like, so on this issue, people that don't want to get the vaccine, they just don't want to get the vaccine. So telling them you're going to lose, which is what they did, if we didn't get the vaccine or get an exemption, we would lose our job by the end of this month. And so all that did is for people that weren't going to get the vaccine is it opened their mindset up to other things. Because now you have to entertain what you're going to do if this comes to pass, right? So all it did was force people to do exactly what you said. Okay, so since this door may be closing, let me look out here to see what else is available along those same lines of what I can do. And then even people, so you were able to get a religious exemption or a medical exemption. But even once you get those exemptions, the door has already been open for your mind to entertain other things to do. And you see a company that's trying to force you to do something.
Because it's like you saying, what you going to do next?
Yeah. What else is coming down the pipeline if you're in the business of forcing people to do stuff they don't want to do? So it's opening people's mindset to entertain alternatives of things to do. It may not all leave tomorrow, but it's like once that happens, it's infectious. Your mind already opened up to other things, then it's hard to put that genie back in the bottle, so to speak. It's hard to, once those ideas start flowing out there, it's hard to recapture that and bring it back in. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
It has even put people, even as far as TI is concerned, it has put people in the mindset of, okay, if any opportunity present itself, I'm going to take it. And I'm, you know, whereas there were maybe people who were satisfied with the company and not looking for any other opportunities. Now, because these things have happened, they're like, I'm open-minded to opportunities. In other words, I am now on the lookout for something that could possibly happen that I can make a move if necessary. You know, or if I see, it may not be a better circumstance than what I am in now, but at least it's a circumstance that allowed me to make a decision of not having to do what they require me to do here. Because they're willing to do this here, what else are they willing to implement for their own self-gratification? Because when it boils down to it, it's just about the money as far as the company is concerned. Okay? And so these are things that's happening, and you're seeing the results of that snakehead biting his own tail. And because he's biting his own tail, he's beginning to crumble. And matter of fact, even our own president has come out he came out a while back making mandatory, trying to make demands and forcing companies to make decisions based upon the amount of employees that a company have. I believe it's 100 or more that you had to be required to do it. Oh, they're bagging up on all that stuff now. Because they realize that, wait a minute, these people are not just dumb sheep. And the fear is not working on people now.
What probably started happening is these large companies realize they losing employees.
Yes.
Our employees going to do, that just means I need to go to a company with less than 100 people.
Yeah.
So if enough people do that, these big companies going to be losing money. And I'm pretty sure they didn't want that to happen.
Yes. I have a rule of thumb. If I'm going to a restaurant and you want to require me to wear a mask or be vaccinated to come in there, guess what? I'm not eating. You're the one who's going to go out of business. I can go right down the street. You know, when things first happened, I went into an auto parts store and they wouldn't even let people to use restroom. I was like, wait a minute, okay, yeah, I need to use restroom. It's kind of a serious situation. What, I need to go on the side of your building or something? Because I'm not going to sit here and urinate on myself. Then I told him, I said, you know what? I said, I'm only going to spend my money where I'm allowed to use the restroom. Everybody in the line just bust out laughing. Even the people behind the counter start laughing. They're like, wow, I didn't think about it like that. They took that you can't use the restroom off of that. We have to realize that we are, best way, I'm going to give you a visual. I'm going to ask a question that you obviously know the answer to. Which has more mass, the head of the snake or the snake's body?
Body.
That means when you look at the way that this thing works, we have the ability to leverage things, and that head is not capable of doing anything without the body. Can't do anything without the body. That head is not Christ. Christ can do anything without the body, you know. He's the son of Yah, but these folks that's imitating the kingdom of Yah and trying to rule and being anti-God and all these, they're ahead too, but they need the body to submit in order for them to be successful. Y'all said, I'm God alone. I don't need nothing else. If you don't have faith, he said, you know, I can't deny myself. Y'all was like, I'm going to be God regardless of how you act. But these people need us to act a certain way in order for them to be who they are. And when we cease to act that way, then you know, whatever little kingdom they got built up is going to crumble. And the source that's going to bring or that is bringing it down is Yah himself. Okay? And so I just wanted to show you that as far as the report was concerned, to allow you to see that this is really happening. And I got to speak to you now. Don't allow fear to make you do anything that you don't want to do. If fear can make you do something that you don't want to do, then that fear, I guarantee you that it's going to be a mistake. If you make any decision based upon fear, it's going to be a mistake.
Well, not only that, if you do it, you guarantee that decision is going to be outside the will of Yah.
Outside the will. Why am I so confident in saying that? Why am I so confident in saying that? Well, as we look at the scripture here, let me just... It is found in Second Timothy 1, verse 7. We've dealt with it before. It says, "For Yah have not given us a spirit of fear." You know, fear is a spirit. It's a mental disposition. So when you look at the word spirit here, giving us a spirit, it says pneuma. Yah said, I don't breathe fear in you. Now, fear is one thing. Reverence is a whole different thing. I fear Yah from a reverential perspective. But I'm talking about this fear as far as a mental disposition that causes us to operate opposite of what is the divine will of Yah. Anything we do in fear, I guarantee you, it's gonna be a mistake. If we move by fear, it's gonna be a mistake. We make decisions in fear, it's gonna be a mistake. Don't allow no job, don't allow no church, don't allow no pastor, don't allow no government. You just go. Don't allow no man, no woman. Don't allow anything to cause you to make a decision based upon fear. Matter of fact, when a person starts rushing me, I'm going to do the complete opposite. Rush me and see what's going to happen. I'm going to sit down on you. Like, nah, you trying to get me to do something stupid. You got to do this today, sir. If you don't do this today, you're going to lose this deal. Guess what I'm finna do, buddy? I'm finna lose this deal. Because for you rushing me, you're causing me to make a decision out of the will of Yah, and I'm not hearing Yah, I'm listening to you. So because I'm listening to you, think I got to make this deal right now. I am now operating in the spirit of fear. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to overlook all them little underlying things you got in this contract, and I'm just signing because I like the pretty stuff. Don't realize the interest rate is 60%. You know, you're paying three times as much for it as what you normally would have. You know, car ain't but $5,000, you paid $20 for it. That's what the spirit of fear does. Okay? So we have to operate in wisdom and don't allow any job to put us in that situation. And so when you look at this data that I showed you, there are people who are saying, you know what? And I can't speak for everybody, you know? But I know for sure when you look at them numbers, there are people who are saying, you know what? I am not going to let you control me. That's what they said to this snakehead. I'm not going to let you control me. We're going to have to do it. It's going to continue to materialize or things that's going to always happen to the point to where we're going to have to make that decision. It's going to come a day when somebody's going to tell you, you can't talk about the scriptures. What you going to do then? You can't mention Yehoshua. You can't mention Yah. It's going to come a day when somebody's going to present that to you. We have to make sure that we stand firm. Now, in this writing, I said something in a parable, and some may have understood it, but I'm going to make it clear to you. You know, when Christ taught in parables, the disciples were able to come to him privately and get the meaning of it. And so in the writing, you know, I put things out there, and y'all had me to write it in a parable, but you get to hear the detail of what that parable is. Okay, so I'm going to read the continue to read here. On September 16, 2021, I wrote about a vision that I had from Yah. The Most High said unto me, the head of the snake is the ruler of nations, which is people, and the tail of the snake is the people. Then I said, indeed, the snake head shall fail its purpose. It's written. Now, 1 Samuel, and I use this here to lay the foundation about what Yah is doing in these days, and we got to, you know, these end days, and we got to be bold enough to know who we are, and we got to walk in that. So he gave me 1 Samuel 3, verse 19, it said, and Samuel grew, and Yah was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, when you look at the word grew, that word grew here is to, it says to twist, but then there are some things that we have to understand what it means as far as the word grew is concerned. There are words at the bottom, it says increase, if you can see it, magnify, it says mind, see it? In various senses, as in body, mind, estate or honor, also in pride. So when you look at how it's talking about as far as Samuel growing is concerned, you remember Samuel at one time didn't know Yah. As we look at it in these verses here, and you remember we dealt with the story about Eli. So he says, and Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that Yah has said unto thee? Remember, he says, speak, your servant heareth. When you look at all the, you know, go up to start at verse 1 and start reading down to the verse that I just read. I just read verse 1 and said, the child Samuel ministered unto Yah before Eli. And the word of Yah was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. So Samuel didn't know Yah. So when you look at the growth, Samuel grew. He grew in his mental disposition. He grew in his walk with Yah. He grew in his mind. His mind started to change. Yah started to deal with him. So that's what the growth means. And because of that growth and Yah transforming his mind, when Samuel spoke things by the leading of the Spirit of Yah, none of his words fell to the ground. In other words, they all came to pass. I tell you the truth. You can go and you can look at things that I even put on social media, and you can see some prophecies that I gave, and you can look at them today, and they came to pass. Because when we grow, and Yah is walking with us, when He have us to speak thing, every word that we speak is going to come to pass exactly like He said it. So that's what it means when it says, "And Samuel grew, and Yah was with him," and that's why he grew, because Yah was with him. And let none of his words fall to the ground. So I went on to say here, I tell you the truth, Yah is with me, and it is going to happen just as he showed me. Well, when I said that, I didn't know about that 4.3 million people. When I was writing that, I had no idea that that even had taken place. And so I got that bit of information hours later, and I was like, wow, okay, I just did this writing. And, you know, and the person who sent me the information was like, Lon, you said this was going to happen. And everything that you said has come to pass exactly. Look at these numbers here. Look at these numbers of what's going on. And so this data has come out, you know, because they've been keeping this information since August. And we talking about, what, in a month time? In a month time, you done had 4.3 million people to sell. I can find me something else to do. You ain't finna take me through this here. Okay? So, Yah is bringing things to pass as quickly as he's having me to speak to him at this point. And so, I said, that said, there are times when Yah has revealed things to his prophets, but he led them to inform us of the truth in a parable. A parable is a similitude, a comparison. Therefore, I have been commanded to do the same thing. And then I always say this, I say hear. Okay, hear. Not with your physical ears, but with your mental capacity. Think. Hear me with your thinking. Don't just listen to what I said. Retain the information. Let it mutter it. That's how you meditate. When you hear the words that are being spoken, meditate on these words. Meditates mean the mutter. You let it roll around in your head. You don't just hear the message and then forget about it. But you retain the information, you think about it, and you allow yourself to grow and to understand from the information that you're hearing. And so that's what I mean when I say hear, not with your physical ears, but with your mental capacity. Think. Think. The mind is a terrible thing to waste, and we wasting our minds on soap operas and reality shows and all these different things. Stop wasting the mind. Think. Think. Okay? Think. Think. Kingdom minded. Because there's a lot of things coming at us, and we got to be on the same page with Yah. But if all these other things are infiltrating our mind, if we're entertaining ourselves with all these other things, when Yah begin to speak, we won't hear because we're too busy being clouded with our mind for other things. And from hearing these other things, we'll be operating more in fear instead of faith. Okay? So here. Now I give you the parable, and then I explain what it means. And some of you may already know what it means, but I'll explain what it means. A man heard voices of people saying that beds were full because sickness was spreading in the wind. But for months the man walked the halls weekly and saw many of them empty. Then the man understood that even if all of them were full, a few hundred of them does not measure up to the amount that does not need them. Faith in God, along with works of healthy diet, vitamin C, vitamin D, and exercise, and brings a breath of fresh air. But most importantly, God is the giver of life. Thus, if he forbids, death has no sting. Words for the day, walk by faith instead of fear. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't go by what we see. We go by our trust in Yah. Okay? Now, to understand what the parable means, Yah had me unknowingly walking the halls of these hospitals for 4 months when I was visiting sick loved ones, church members. And so as I was walking these halls weekly for 4 months, I took note of all the empty beds. Now, when you look at what the media has been saying, the media has been constantly saying the hospital beds are full. The hospitals are full. You can't. We're not able to take in any more COVID patients because the pandemic, you know, people are catching, you know, COVID, the virus, and the numbers are increasing and different things like that. And the hospitals are filling up and now the beds are full and there's no place to go. I walked the halls for 4 months, and I saw empty beds on the floors where COVID patients were. For 4 months, I walked the halls. When they were saying the beds were full, I was seeing that the beds, not all of them were full. Yes, there were people in some of those beds. Again, we had loved ones there. We had church members there. You know, we had situations that happened to church members and things like that. So we all, you know, have been affected by this pandemic in one facet or another these past few months. But at the same time, when I walked those halls, y'all gave me an understanding. And the understanding was this. I was like, okay, let's say all of the beds are full. How many beds are on the floor? Could only be a few hundred at the most. So you're taking a few hundred people and you're confessing to the masses that we're in a pandemic. 200 beds at one hospital, and you got over a million people in the city of Dallas? Yeah, more than that. I'm just getting a low number. You got over a million people in the city of Dallas, and 200 beds are full. If all of them were full, the snakehead has an agenda. And the snakehead is wanting to control by putting us in the spirit of fear and causing us to make decisions that we wouldn't have to make or that we normally wouldn't make. And so we have to be wise enough now to be led by the spirit of Yah and don't walk by sight. We got to walk by faith. And if it comes down to the point to where our jobs are on the line and Yah is leading us not to do certain things, we still walk by faith, not by sight. See, what I realize is this, a lot of times a person, because that's how it happens. A lot of time a person don't walk into their destiny until they actually just step out there and go do. People have a tendency to wait on destiny to tap them on the shoulders. My mindset is different. I believe in going and getting it. That's why I always make the statement, anything I ever want in life, I'm going to go get it. I'm not going to sit around and wait on it to come get me. Thus, the steps of a good man are ordered by Yah. But what happens to the man if he's not stepping anywhere? What if Yah is leading? What if circumstances are happening to lead us into another circumstance? But we're too busy, caught up into where we are, and we refuse to step forward and just trust Yah, all because we can't see the opportunity. We walk by sight. I think I need to pull that scripture up. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And when you look at it in its contextual meaning, it deals with to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Okay? And a person may say, okay, well, how do I know that's going to take place? You ain't going to see it. You're going to have to walk by faith on that. What I mean by you not going to see it, you're not going to be able to go take a look at death and then decide how it's going to be. In other words, that's what Paul says in verse 6, therefore we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, all of us here now, at home in our physical body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, verse 7, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I walk by faith, not by sight. I know that when I die, I'm going to leave this body and be present with my God. I don't need to see that. I have full confidence in that. Okay? But I want to take the concept of verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We have to understand that that works as far as life is concerned. You got too many people always trying to wait on what they can see before they step. I got to be able to see a way to make it before I step out in faith. When I can see it, then that ain't, it's not faith then. If you can see it and you step out, it ain't faith then. You can see it. I'm going to say this. Y'all say you give me the liberty to say it. I don't need God if I can see everything. What I need him for? If I can see every facet of my life and know how I'm going to work out my life on a daily basis, what do I need a creator for to lead me? Because we have a creator, there are times when we're going to have to step out there not knowing how it's going to turn out. But at the same time, I'm saying this not knowing how it's going to turn out from a sight perspective. You can't see nothing. But to step out there having the confidence to know that your God is going to take care of you. Until you learn how to do that, then you stay stuck in the same stuff that you've been stuck in all your life. Because Yah is not going to show up for anybody who's standing still. He's going to show up for those who are walking by faith. He want to order the steps. But nothing materializes if a person refuses to take any steps. Everything I've ever done, I didn't see it with my physical eyes. A way how to do it. When you look back on my life, all of the successes that I've had, I didn't know what was going to take place when I stepped into it. Y'all know I tell the story all the time. The first time I got the keys to the building, I bagged my truck up. I was sitting on the tailgate. I had pulled up at the building, and I got out, had the keys in my hand. Didn't want to go inside because I was looking at all that building. And I sit on the back of my truck in the dark laughing. I said, Lord, what am I going to do with this? So my truck about 2 hours just sitting there on my tailgate just laughing. And I turn around and look back at the building. I said, Lord, I feel like a baby bulldog with a big old bone. Now, you name a little puppy bulldog that can handle a big old hard bone. That's what I felt like. That's what I kept saying. Yeah, I feel like a baby bulldog with a big old bone, but I'm going to trust you. I don't know how we can afford it. The money's not there. The building's too big. I don't know what to do. But I trust you. You ordered the steps. I took the necessary step. And now, because those steps were taken, we got something that was given to us that would not have been... I bag up. We got something that was given to us that people tried to buy. And I'll be doggone, a year later, he give the school. I'm sitting there again saying, y'all, we got two big old bones now. Y'all rest her soul, Pastor Lawson called me. She said, Pastor Boss, I'm going to tell you something. She said, these pastors down here having meetings about you. She said, they sitting up there saying, we don't know how they going to be able to afford that over here. So the utilities alone at that building is $10,000 a month. So they said, we don't see how they going to make it. Just a light bill for $10,000 alone. I laughed and I said, Pastor Lawson, I said, wisdom is going to allow us to take care of this without any problems. So y'all going to give me the wisdom on how to run it, the wisdom on how to use the utilities, and everything going to be just fine. Them folks still wondering. We got the in what, 2009? 12 years later, they still figuring out how in the world they managing them utilities and stuff over there. Wisdom from Yah and allowing him to order the steps and walking in the path without seeing a way. I wasn't looking at the checkbook saying, can we afford this here before we sign on the dotted line to get that stuff turned over to us. When they first gave me the keys to the building up here, the first utility I got was about $15,000. Utility bill. Yeah, I said, don't fear. He said, here's what you do. I called them folks when I got through, and they resent another bill. That son of a gun was $600. Okay, we talking now. Then y'all said, here's how you run it. He said, when you go in now, he said, don't turn on all the lights. So I was doing it even in Honey Grove. He said, don't turn on all the lights. He said, that's a demand charge. The demand charge is what costs businesses. People don't realize that. They go in them churches, man, they flip on every light and every air conditioner they got in there. And that demand charge may be $2,000 for that little flipping they did. And the actual light bill may be $300. Yeah, so you go in there, you turn on one room, wait 15 minutes later, turn on another one, another light, wait 15 minutes later, turn on the AC. He said, everything you gonna use, turn it on every 15 minutes. But the point is, it took walking by faith to even get to the point to be instructed on what to do to make the utilities cheaper. And so we gotta understand this, y'all. We gotta walk this thing for real. People are so desperate to the point to where they think their sole survival is based upon the check that they get each week. And Yah is saying, I am your source. I haven't given you the spirit of fear. What did that article say? People are starting to realize that they have the leverage. When are the children of Yah going to realize that we have the leverage? Have the mindset that it doesn't matter what you do. By the leading of the Spirit of Yah, you always got the leverage. Why? Because you got the Most High on your side. You always have the advantage. You have because you have the Spirit of Yah on your side, you operate within the highest degree of thinking that exists in earth. Nobody has the capability of thinking more wiser than you are because you have the all-wise and all-knowing God on your side. That's why I tell people, I don't know everything, but I know what I need to know. Anything I need to know, I'm going to know. I ain't looking to know everything. But whatever I need to know, y'all going to show me. So these things have to be understood, Kiro. We walk by faith, not by sight. So when we look at faith, and I'll close after this. When it says walk, it says to tread around, be occupied with. So walk is occupation. It's not that you walking around saying, I'm walking by faith. No, it's a mental state. we walk by faith. When you look at faith, it says persuasion. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded. It says assurance at the assurance at the bottom. Belief, believe, faith, fidelity. But when we understand faith in its purest form, it's in Yah, because He never fails us. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is view, appearance, fashion, shape. It goes back to even further. It says to know, perceive, understand. When y'all deal with you, you're not going to always understand it. And you still going to have to walk by faith. I'm being transparent with you. I'm showing you way things have happened as far as my life is concerned. Every great thing that Yah has done for me, I didn't understand none of it. But I trusted Him. I heard you, Yah, and I'll say this and I'm done. Nobody else have anything to say. If you are waiting to understand something before you walk in it, then you will never walk in it. If you're able to see all the ways and possibility of it happen, it is not God. You finna mess up. Yah is not gonna deal with you that way. He's not gonna give you a divine vision and then give you all of the understanding. You understand as you go. I heard this song, you know, I can see clearly now, the rain is gone, I can see all obstacles in my way. It's going to be a bright and sunshiny day. You don't want to be like that operating with Yah. You don't want to see clearly all the time. You just want to trust Him. Now, I want you to honestly judge yourself as I'm getting ready to close. You don't have to raise your hand, or those who are even listening, as far as you know, who are listening through some form of media. Think about this. Do you have a dream? Do you have a passion? Do you have something that you would love to accomplish in life? If your answer is yes, but you're waiting to see the opportunity, you will never see it. Some people have been waiting on the opportunity for 30 years. Some for 40 years, some for 20 years. Some for 10 years, 5, however way you want to put it. How long you've been waiting on the opportunity. As long as you're waiting on the opportunity, before you step out there, you will stand before Yah someday and be like, I wish I could have, I should have. I got old saying, when I stand before my God, I do not want to say, I wish that I could have. I wish that I should have. And I wish that I had done this. When I stand before my God, I'm going to say, I walked in every path that you ordered me to, that you divinely ordered me to step in. As far as my life is concerned, I accomplished every task In the words of Paul, I fought a good fight and I kept the faith. Refuse to leave this earth with things being undone. That's why I'm living life to the fullest now, because everything that Yah has given me to do, my hands are on the plow. I'm in a good place in life now. Alright? That's all I have. Any questions, comments, anything? All right. Okay, I'll go ahead and stop here. Father, y'all, we just honor you, and we declare as your children that you have ordered our steps. You have divine destiny for each one of us, and we seek wisdom, and we seek your face on a daily basis, and we put our trust in you that as we step out, even into the things that you so passionately put in us to accomplish, that although we can't see how it's going to end or even understand how it's going to materialize, but our trust is in you, and our confidence is in you that you will bring it to pass exactly the way that you ordered it. And we bless you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.